Last 2 weeks of the Let's Get Real podcast, we talked about how to recognize a cult and cultic teaching. This week, what I'd like to do is I'd like to address one of the most disputed doctrines in the Christian faith. It is disputed by Jehovah's Witnesses, it is misunderstood by Mormons, and it's attacked by Muslims. Can you guess what doctrine that is? It's the doctrine of the Trinity. My name is Rob Lundberg, and you're listening to the Let's Get Real podcast. And welcome back to the Let's Get Real podcast. Thank you for tuning in this week. Well, you know, I told you last couple weeks I've been dealing with the whole, we're going to be dealing with the whole idea of Christianity and the cults, Christianity and the world religions, Christianity and adverse religions. Now, some people will say that, Rob, you're not being tolerant. You know, that's not a tolerant statement. You know, just remember that we talked about how to turn the claim on itself. You know, when somebody says to you, you know, you're not being tolerant, you're not being affirming, you got to understand that that statement itself is not being tolerant. You know, if with the understanding of that person's toleration. So what you want to do is you want to say, well, what do you mean by toleration? And do you realize that your statement is an intolerant statement? In other words, turning the claim on itself. So what I want to do is I want to address this whole idea of the Trinity. We're going to take probably a couple, maybe 3 weeks, well, depending, on this particular one. And then what I'm going to do is I'm going to move into one episode of explaining the whole idea of Tawhid versus the Trinity. And I gave a talk at Germanic Community College when I was with Rasho Christie a few years ago on this. And we had a Muslim in our group, and they didn't really have anything that they could refute on this, because I'm under the understanding that if you misrepresent a religion, chances are you do not understand it. So, oh, by the way, speaking of such, this coming Saturday on YouTube with the Proselytize or Apostatize podcast on YouTube, it will be live Saturday, October 23rd, the Rob Dog is going to be in a debate with Piotr, I can't pronounce his last name, let me see if I could find it here, hang on here, I'll look it up a little momentarily, but my conversant partner in this is one who holds to Hare Krishna, and the subject of the debate is going to be Christ versus Krishna. And we just started really interacting a little bit today, he and I, just to find out where he is coming from. I'm hoping that he's going to ask me some questions as well to know where I'm coming from. So it'll be a fair debate, because I'll tell you right now, there's a lot of problems. I'm going to reference some things with regards to this, but we're going to talk about the Trinity for the amount of time that we have. And when we talk about the Trinity, like I said in the opening, it's one of the most misunderstood doctrines. Now, please understand, if you're a professing Christian, a Bible-believing Christian, they say, you might say this, Rob, we can't fully understand the Trinity. And you're absolutely right. We cannot fully understand even who God is, but what we have is the revelation of God through Scripture as far as how He reveals Himself, as well as the general revelation. We also have illustrations even of the Trinity. Some of them, many of the illustrations that are used borderline on heresy. So what I don't want to do is I don't want to go into those right now, but things that you should not say about what the Trinity is. I'll have an episode on that. Maybe it'll be on YouTube. I'm not sure. Oh, by the way, speaking of YouTube, if you subscribe to my channel, thank you. If you don't, Why not? Also, I put my discussion with regards to Neil deGrasse Tyson's views on God, evil, faith, and evidence. So that video is up. It's about a 26-minute video. You can watch that. Let me know how you think about that. And by the way, just as a reminder, if you are listening to the Let's Get Real podcast, or if you're looking at our YouTube channel, I always want to invite you to not just be a patron through our Patreon channel, our Patreon page, but more importantly, I want you to interact with what you see, what you hear with your senses as far as what I share, and email me if you have any questions. And I mean it. I'm serious. I'm dead as a serious as a heart attack, okay? I want to interact with you. I want you to be able to go and say, you know, Rob, I'm glad you're approachable, because I am approachable. I want to be approachable. I mean, 61 years old, and I want to be what Paul writes to Titus, be that approachable older guy to be able to go and help you younger guys and younger ladies out there understand why Christianity is true. So with regards to the Trinity, when you think of the word Trinity, I want you to think about it from the perspective of the word university. Now, why university? Well, because the word university connotes a search for finding unity in diversity. Now, as you look around the world today, look around our culture, we're seeing that it's going sidewards with understanding on things on spirituality. You know, the new spirituality is alive and well. It is called the Green Dragon. You'll hear me refer to that sometimes, and we're going to have some podcasts on that now that we're going in the direction that we're going. But, you know, pluralism and pluralization, pluralism is basically saying that, you know, all these religions out there are such that, you know, they're all equal. They're all equal. You know, you see the coexist bumper stickers and the tolerate bumper stickers and everything like that. I have a contradict one. And, you know, if you go and you look at all the, what the religions teach, they teach exclusivistic claims that are totally different from the next religion. So here we are thinking about unity and diversity and in a pluralized society. And unity, I'm here to tell you that you can only find unity and diversity in one thing, and that is the Godhead, the Trinity. It can only be found in the Trinity, for in the Trinity, we have unity of the three persons and diversity and community. And I'll go and I'll expound upon that a little bit as we go through this. But here, if you think about it this way, that the Father is God, the Son is God, and the Holy Spirit is God, but the Father is not the Son is not the Holy Spirit, and the Holy Spirit is not the Father, but you have the existence of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit in the essence of one God. Now, when we talk about this doctrine, it is something that we cannot fully understand humanly. Okay? Please understand that. But what we can do as Bible-believing Christians is we can apprehend the truth claims that we know are true about the Trinity. And the infinite God became man to save mankind and then sent the Holy Spirit to inaugurate the church, and we read about that in Acts, to unify a community of people, meaning the regenerated, blood-bought church of Jesus Christ. In other words, if you know Jesus Christ as your Lord and your Savior, you have received him. John tells us, for as many that have received him, to them he gave the right and the power to become children of God. But that passage even goes even further past that those verses that we cannot neglect. Okay? Let me start at verse 12 again. It says this, but as many that have received him, to them he gave the right which is the Greek word exousia, which means authority or power to become children of God, even to those who believe in his name, who were born not of blood or the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but born of God. So when we look at the Trinity and we look at the persons of the Trinity, I want to start with who the central figure that we know and is popular. You know, because we go and we look at the Trinity, we know that God is Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, and they're not the same. They are separate persons, yet still one God, which I just explained to you. But see, folks, all three of them are also absolutely perfect and harmony consistent in one substance. They are co-equal, co-eternal, co-powerful. In any one of the three, if any one of the three were removed, we would not have God. Okay? Now, there is an apparent separation of some of the functions of the Godhead. For example, the Father chooses who will be saved. And of course, you know, you have the whole sovereignty of God and free will of man thing. So if you do reject Jesus, it is like God did not elect you. But if you confess with your mouth Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart, see, God leaves it open. He leaves it open for you to look at the fact that there's the general revelation and you can see the design in the universe and the design in the creation, the design in the human body and the design in the genome. And you can see the fact that there's a moral law and you can see the fact that everything around you has a beginning and you cannot have an infinite regression of current causes of existence. And ultimately, the universe had a beginning thanks to Hubble's telescope. We know this. So, folks, you have to understand that there's plenty of evidence out there to place your faith in that there's a God. So then this God became a man in Jesus Christ. So all three persons are co-equal, co-eternal, same substance. And without one of them in the three, there would be no God. It is not one plus one plus one. It is one times one times one. It's one times one times one. And one times one times one is still one. Okay? A point of further clarification here, and this is where we get into the meat and the potatoes of our podcast episode today. A further point of clarification is not one person, the Father with Jesus as a creation, and the Holy Spirit as a force. Let me say that again. God is not one person, the Father, and that Jesus was a created being and the Holy Spirit is a force. That is the doctrine of the Jehovah's Witnesses, okay? And neither is he one person who took three consecutive forms. This is like the Father who became the Son and who became the Holy Spirit. So the Father became the Son became the Holy Spirit. This is what you call modalism. This is the false teaching of the United Pentecostal Church. It is embraced by T.D. Jakes and Stephen Furtick. And those folks are professing Christians, but they are false teachers when it comes to understanding the doctrine of the Trinity. And neither is the Trinity an office held by three separate gods, which is Mormonism. Okay? So we've looked at quickly the fact that the Jehovah's Witnesses believe that Jesus is a created being and the Holy Spirit is a force, and that God, there's one God, Jehovah. That's the Jehovah's Witnesses. The Mormons believe that there are three separate gods. That's polytheistic. And the United Pentecostal Church says, or the United Pentecostal modalism says, that the Father became the Son who became the Holy Spirit. That's heresy. All three of these are heresy, really, you know. But nevertheless, these things are out there. And if you run into a church or you have a conversation with somebody, you need to steer clear of that church and try and square away the person that you're having a conversation. And hopefully this podcast will help you to do that. Now, I've got a study on the doctrine of the Trinity that I'm going to put in a PDF, and I'm going to attach this. But what I want to do is I want to go through some of the things in this study that we've gone and done with scripture verses, scripture references, talking about who Jesus is, who the Father is, who the Holy Spirit is, and what they and how scripture reveals them to show their deity, okay, or show that they're God. So the Trinity, remember, is made up of Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Jesus is called God. Now, remember I mentioned to you that I just I'm going to be at a debate this week. I want to go and let you know that the Hare Krishna folks say basically that Jesus is basically one of the gurus. He's a guru, which means teacher, and that salvation is not gained through him, but by chanting the name of their God, who is Hare Krishna. I don't want to call him Harry. At least 1,728 times daily. How do you keep track of that? That's a long time of Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna. So, you know, 1,728 times a day. And they believe that that's going to save them. That's going to wear them out, if anything. That's going to wear out their vocal cords just going and doing that. But the Trinity is made up of Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Jesus Christ is called God. We see that he is called Creator. He resurrects, and he also resurrects the dead. He indwells. He's omnipresent, omniscient. He sanctifies. He's the giver of life. We have fellowship with him. He is eternal. He's the eternal God in human flesh. Jesus has a will. He speaks, as we see in the Gospels and in Acts. He loves. He searches men's heart. He knows men's heart. We can belong to him, and he can be our Savior. He can be your Savior if you don't believe in him. And we serve him as we do the Father. He is believed in. He gives us joy, and he does ultimately. He is ultimately the judge. Now, when we talk about Jesus, you know, you go and say, "Well, how can Jesus be God and man at the same time?" Well, the thing is that, you know, the Jehovah's Witnesses have an issue here with this, because as Christians, we believe Jesus is God in human flesh. He is not a half God and half man. He is fully God and fully man. And in the incarnation, he added to his divine nature the nature of man. And the heretic Bill Johnson goes and says that Jesus dropped all of his deity and he was fully human. He gets it backwards. And in his book, The Heaven Came Down, basically what he's trying to tell followers of the New Apostolic Reformation is that Jesus dropped all of his deity and became a man, and he was obedient to the Father, so he was able to do miracles. And because he was able to do miracles and he was obedient to the Father, you can do the same. Folks, that is false teaching. Plain and simple. That is heresy. Jesus took on humanity and never lost his deity. Now, he is not merely a man who had God within him, nor is he a man who manifested the God principle. He is God, second person of the Trinity. The Son is the radiance of God's glory, the exact representation of his being, sustaining all things by his powerful word, as Hebrews 1:3 tells us. Now, Jesus does have two natures, and this is what we call the hypostatic union. Now, what do we mean by the hypostatic union? Well, let me explain it to you this way. Jesus's two natures are not mixed together, nor are they combined into a new God-man nature. They are separate, yet act as a unit. And this is what we mean by the hypostatic union. We can also see that these two natures are in action. We talk about Jesus Christ being fully God and fully man, the God-man, if you will. Now, The problem that Jehovah's Witnesses have with this, and this is, these are going to be passages that I can share with you with regards to when you have a conversation with a Jehovah's Witness. Number one, Jesus is worshipped in Matthew 2:2, 2:11, 14:33, 28:9, and he worshipped the Father, John chapter 17. Jesus is prayed to in Acts 7:59 and 1 Corinthians 1:1-2, but he is also prayed to the Father, John 17:1. He is called God in John 20:28 and Hebrews 1:8, but he was called man in Mark 15:39 and John 19:5. Jesus was called the Son of God in Mark 1:1, but he is also called the Son of Man in John 9:35-37. He is sinless, but at the same time, he was tempted. You can read about the temptations in Matthew chapter 4 and Luke chapter 4, but he is also sinless in 1 Peter 2:22 and Hebrews 4:15. And it says that he knows all things in John 21:17, and he grew in wisdom in Luke 2:52. And he gives eternal life in John 10:28, but he also died in Romans 5:8. And the fullness of the deity dwells in him in Colossians 2:9, and he is has a body of flesh and bones, as we read in Luke 24:39. Now, one of the most common errors that non-Christian cults do make is not understanding the two natures of Christ. As we mentioned earlier, the Jehovah's Witnesses focus on his humanity and they ignore his deity. Christian scientists, on the other hand, focus on the divine nature and ignore the human. Now, for a proper understanding of Jesus and therefore all the other doctrines that do relate to him, his two natures must be properly understood and defined. Please understand that the Bible is about Jesus. The prophets prophesied about him, and we read about that in Acts 10:43. Again, the Bible is about Jesus. You don't believe me, Scripture speaks to this in John 5:39. The Father bore witness of him. That's in John 5:37 and 8:18. The Holy Spirit bore witness of him in John 15:26. The works of Jesus did also bore witness of him in John 5:36 and 10:25. And multitudes bore witness of him in John 12:17. And Jesus bore witness of himself in John 14:6 and John 18:6. Now, there are other passages that we can consider about his deity, and they are John 1:1-14, John 5:18, John 20:28, Romans 9:5, Philippians 2:5-8 is what Bill Johnson gets all wrong, Titus 2:13, Hebrews 1:6-8, and 2 Peter 1:1. 1 Timothy 2:5 says this: "For there is one God and one mediator also between God and men, the man Jesus Christ. Now, right now, there is a man in heaven on the throne of God. He is fully God and fully man. He is our advocate with the Father, according to 1 John 2:1, and he is our Savior. He is our Lord, according to Romans 10:9-8. He is Jesus Christ." Now, as I mentioned to you, as detailed as this is going to be, let me see if I can at least whet your appetite with regards to the Holy Spirit. Because I think what I'm going to end up doing is I'm going to talk to you about the Holy Spirit and the works of the Holy Spirit next week on the next episode. And then we will deal with the other doctrines and all that deal with the Trinity as well. We're going to look at the Trinity and Tawhid, which is the Islamic view of Trinity and the fact that they accuse Christians of being polytheistic, and they get the Trinity wrong with Allah Isa, Jesus, and Miriam, which is totally, totally false. And of course, the Muslims do commit what is called the fallacy of appeal to authority with regards to their understanding, taking the Gospel of Thomas and taking heretical documents and all and trying to go and say, this is what it is now. But I'm going to answer those next week. If you do have any questions, next week we're going to, I won't deal with the Trinity Tawhid next week. What we'll do is we'll talk about the Holy Spirit's role in the Trinity, and we'll give you some quotes from the early church fathers. And then next week, what I will do is I will provide for you that document. I'll take this week to prepare that document and make sure it is clean and put it in a PDF and give you a link to that in after next week's episode. So we'll talk about the episode. Next week, we'll talk about the Holy Spirit and give you some quotes about the early church fathers, because the Jehovah's Witnesses have a problem with that. So for now, I'll end our show here, and then next week we'll carry on with the Holy Spirit, some quotes, and then the following week, you be in prayer for this, because we're going to deal with we're going to answer the attacks from Islam, okay? So until next week, as you go out this week, please keep your ears open. Our culture is going sideways, and it's going sideways very quickly, folks. You know, who knows how long the social media will be allowed to operate and podcasts like this will be able to keep going. But you know what? I don't give a flying flip. I'm going to keep serving you and serving Christ Church until that happens or until Jesus comes. Nevertheless, we have a battleship that is unsinkable, and that is the Christian faith. If you do have any questions about that and why I say what I say, I want to invite you to email me. You can email me at roblundberg315@gmail.com. Pray for us this week. Pray for us. Pray for our debate next week. And also pray for our ministry as we are serving the Lord here in Virginia. So, until next week, as you go out, make sure you have your ears open, your eyes wide open. As we said in the Army, keep your head on a swivel. Always keep aware. Stay alert, because your adversary, the devil, roams around like a roaring lion seeking whom he will devour. And we need to stay alert and stay alive. And as you go out and give them heaven. And Lord willing, we'll be back with you next week. God bless.